Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100. Cleveland's News Radio.
News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Wills Ways to Save is in. I tell you what, my hands, and I can't be the only one, are just dry and cracking. This weather is rough on them, man. You got something for us?
I do. I figured I would go into the whole beauty skincare savings bargain because right now, just within Northeast Ohio, if you look online at sites designated for the area, there's more than 3,700 so-called beauty bargains. And this is that time of the year where retailers cash in. The temperature changes. The 70 degree one day, then back to snow, then back to sleet. So if you want to make your move, and if you head over to WTAM.com using the keyword save, I, with the help of some mothers and product testers and estheticians and skincare specialists, was able to sort through all of the products out there, sift through the savings and the markups. And Bill, I learned something very interesting. You ready for this?
What's that?
The same high-end beauty products that are marked up by about 300% are made in the exact same factories as that same $1 piece of junk bottle, just with a different label.
Very surprising, man. Very surprising.
So the key, Bill, go to the source. The source, obviously, WTAM.com, keyword save, found a couple of lines that are backed by actual estheticians that take care of your skin from your face to your hands, your arms, your body. Great gifts, but more importantly, just really nice ways to reverse the hands of time. Anti-aging, anti-really everything. A lot of the benefits this year tied to substances made of green tea. A lot of moisturizing benefits there. I'm not an expert, but you want to hear from those who are. You know where to go. Your savings today, Bill. Cut them down by 50 to 80%.
Really help with those dry hands. Matt Granite's done the work. Couple of clicks, you'll have the deal and better hands. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword save. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15 to 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Indians went through their first full squad workout yesterday. Temperature is pretty much what we have here. As the tribe gets ready for the upcoming season, the Indians certainly have had many positives over the last 2 years. But as Francisco Lindor puts it,
I guarantee you there's not a single player here that doesn't want to win. It's just a matter of playing playing right at the right time, you know, playing good baseball. We've 3-1, we don't finish. 2-0, we don't finish. You know, that's what we got to work.
That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line, Frankie, as they begin the upcoming season. Now, the Indians open Cactus League play on Friday against the Reds. You'll be able to hear it right here. We'll have more from Lindor at 5:45. Also, we'll hear from Terry Francona on his bullpen, any concerns he has there with Brian Shaw's departure. Big signing in baseball yesterday. The Red Sox get J.D. Martinez, 5-year, $110 million deal. He hit 45 homers with the Tigers and Diamondbacks last year. Boy, you look at the American League right now, Indians, Yankees, Red Sox, and, of course, the defending champion Astros. They are the top four, clearly. The NBA All-Star break continues. Cavaliers won't return to action until Thursday night when they host Washington. Now, what never ends is speculation about what LeBron James will do next year. An ESPN poll of NBA players asked what he should do and what they think he will do, and you can see the results of that. Just go to WTAM.com. Scooter's got it posted on the Wills and Snyder page. Cavs back in action Thursday, and with all the moves that they made and the way they went into the break, they are now again the favorites to win the East. About 2 weeks ago, they were like the third choice. College basketball last night, Wright State over Cleveland State, 72-63. Ohio State, after losing two straight, has dropped to 16 in the polls. Buckeyes return to action tonight when they take on Rutgers. From the NFL, Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield, one of the top four prospects for the upcoming NFL draft, says he will not attend that draft. He also is trying to get his image to a point where he's not associated with Johnny Manziel. That is a good move by him. Coming up at 5:45, more from Frankie Lindor and Tito as the tribe gets into full squad workouts in Goodyear. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time now for an Olympic update.
Olympic update from NBC News Radio.
Here's the latest from Pyeongchang, where the final night of the ice dancing competition is underway. The top 10 teams will start to hit the ice just after 10 p.m. Eastern. The last to skate will be the Canadian duo of Virtue and Moyer, who notched a record-setting score in the short program last night. Three American teams are among the top seven heading into the free skate. Hubble Donahue in third place, just ahead of the Shibutani siblings. The U.S. men's ice hockey team will be facing elimination tonight. The U.S. plays Slovakia. The winner moves on to the quarterfinals, a 10:10 p.m. Eastern time start for that one. The U.S. women's hockey team will once again face Canada in the gold medal game. The U.S. a 5-0 win over Finland in the semifinals. Canada beat the Olympic athletes from Russia by the same score. Michaela Schifrin has pulled out of the women's downhill to focus on the combined. This after the combined was rescheduled for the day after the downhill. Lindsey Vonn will compete in both events. Olympic update, Doug Thompson, NBC News Radio.
Jamie Gutterberg, 14 years old.
Enough is enough.
This is a student movement.
And hopefully we can all make a change there and talk to representatives and get our word across to everyone.
We are resilient to make a change because there's so much grief in this community, and this, my friends and I with Never Again, we're turning our grief into political action.
Everything everybody seems to know, we didn't know. Before he moved in, one of the stipulations is he had to get a gun safe. And we got a gun safe on the way back from Lantana from moving his stuff to our house.
And did he have, he didn't have free access to this gun safe?
No, no. I thought I had the only key to the gun safe.
Never should have happened.
Yeah.
And again, if we had known any of the things that we're hearing, we're learning a lot about all of this just the same as everybody else, you know, and we feel betrayed as well and just shocked.
I know that many of us are in different phases of the grieving process, but a huge part of the healing process involves bringing our Eagle family back together. Our goal was to resume classes on a modified schedule on Tuesday, February 27th.
Some of the sound of the last 24 hours, including the family that appeared on Good Morning America, the family that he was living with. Bill Zemfer joins me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill, good morning. We hear that. So has President Trump over the last 24 hours?
Yeah, he has. He is now talking about supporting bipartisan legislation that would strengthen the background check system on the federal level. It would also require states to upload information about people that maybe should not have guns, and it would take away money from them. They cannot, the federal government cannot tell the states they have to do that, but they can restrict some financial support if they do not do that. So this is a big week, Bill, as far as this whole thing goes. We know about the groundswell of support, and the young people are going to Tallahassee starting today to lobby their lawmakers in Florida. Also, yesterday there was a lie-in at the White House. A bunch of teens lied down on the sidewalk outside of the White House as a show of support. Other rallies are scheduled for this week, and of course, President Trump has some listening sessions scheduled as well. I think a big moment could come on Friday, Bill, when the president is scheduled to address the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC as it's known. That is a big conservative group. Gun ownership, of course, is a big issue. Wayne LaPierre, the NRA, is also scheduled to speak there. What the president has to say to them should be very interesting, because gun control really on the front burner now.
Without a doubt. In Florida, you talked about that legislation, includes new age restrictions for gun purchases. This Cruz could go in and buy an AR rifle but couldn't get a beer. That seems a bit odd. And you know, one other thing, and you mentioned the NRA. Let me get chatter on this. Sadly, after that Vegas shooting, you and I talked for days about bump stocks. We learned all about them. Everybody was going to be against them. Nothing has ever happened on that front, Bill.
Yeah, and if you remember, the NRA was even open to talking about regulation of bump stocks. No, nothing ever happened. It is included in a piece of legislation that was passed in the House. The House actually did pass legislation already to strengthen this background check system. The bump stock issue was included in that, but it was never taken up in the Senate.
All right, Bill Zemfer on it this morning. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome.
All right, a couple other notes. There's a new poll out, ABC News Washington Post poll, about 6 out of 10. Blame Congress and the president for not doing enough when it comes to gun control issues. Lie-in outside the White House on Monday, President's Day to push for stronger gun control legislation. Trump at Mar-a-Lago for the long weekend, met with survivors and the first responders of the school shooting. He's scheduled a listening session, they're calling it. Not sure who's going to be in that, though, in the next couple of days. Here's a interesting note. It turns out that knives kill way more people in America than rifles. You want to ban knives as well? As the debate over gun control rages on after the horrific mass school shooting in Florida last week, the FBI has released some very interesting numbers concerning rifles like the AR-15. As it turns out, statistics from 2016 show that knives actually kill nearly five times as many people as rifles in this country. According to the FBI, 1,604 people were killed by knives and cutting instruments, 374 killed by rifles in the same year. Handguns, though, continue to far outnumber both knives and rifles when it comes to murders in this country. Handguns have never been considered in any assault weapons ban in the past. All sorts of side stories and issues to debate with all this. Rush Limbaugh, been at the center a lot of this with that Fox News interview over the weekend. Rush is saying, look, we can't prevent any of this, so on the front lines, let's get some guns around the schools. Allow teachers. Some first responders right there at the school, and he took some heat for it. Rush Limbaugh catching today following the news at noon on News Radio WTAM 1100. News Radio WTAM 1100. 6:53, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, and let's talk about the Cavs. Mike Fratello coming up at 7:20. Terry Pluto now. Follow him on Twitter at Terry Pluto. Graduate Benedictine, anytime Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, and at Cleveland.com. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
You wrote a great piece posted this couple days ago about how Dan Gilbert looks at budgets and spending money. And guys, I always hate the term they gotta. They gotta win tonight. They gotta do this. They gotta do that. You don't gotta do anything till the end of the day. I mean, sometimes you have to do something. You want to keep playing. Okay. Having said that, Dan Gilbert's got to spend all he can to keep him here because, as you point out, it helps all the other businesses, right?
Right. Well, one of Dan's sayings, you know, a penny saved is just a penny. And to me, it's, of course, to him, like, each penny represents probably $1 million is how they look at it. And it's like, so a million saved is just a million to a guy who's worth $6.4 billion. But when you really look at his worth and what he has, you know, the Cavs are tied into casino, which is tied into Quicken Loans, which is tied into Fathead. And then you have all the real estate in Detroit. And I know he has businesses and startups I'd never heard of. And we have the Monsters hockey team. And so LeBron, whether it's to him or I think almost any other franchise, just like Michael Jordan was worth it to the Bulls, was probably worth $1 million a game.
Absolutely. And the thing is, right now, you want to keep it going as long as you can. And sure. I know that you wrote, Terry, if it plays out that LeBron decides to stay here and they re-sign Rodney Hood and they keep all the contracts that they currently have on board, we're looking at almost $300 million for an NBA roster, right?
That's what it could. Brian Windhorst from ESPN put all that together, and that's what he came up with, and that, you know, is probably correct. Although my guess is they'll probably dump some of those contracts or something of, you know, they tried desperately to trade J.R. Smith, for example, and somewhat to trade Tristan. So that could be a possibility. But, the real thing is, like, if you have LeBron and you have a number of the younger players they've brought in, you're going to keep contending in the East. And that keeps that whole engine of Dan's empire, you know, humming along. Look, if they get to the finals again, Mike, and they lose, I mean, whatever LeBron kind of wants to stay, whether it's a one-year contract or a five-year contract or whatever, you just do it.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Terry, speaking of big money, there's going to be some big money floating around in the NFL this March. Kirk Cousins' name's out there. Jets reportedly willing to give him whatever it takes. How do you see this working? The Browns are kind of in an interesting spot. They want to start winning now, but to get a quarterback that wants to win now, and they know you're going to draft a guy one, that's kind of a delicate thing. How do you see this thing unfolding?
Well, first of all, if they take Cousins, they're now drafting a quarterback at one. You could just forget that. That means they're going in a totally different direction. You know, running backs, defensive guys, wide receivers, you'll see things like that. I don't know how, but if they have a team such as the Jets that are willing to pay Cousins, you know, the highest contract we've ever seen before, I don't see the Browns, are they going to pay him $60 million a year? I mean, you would have to think something like that.
Right.
Because if you're Cousins, there's no attraction to this place. Sort of until further notice, Cleveland is Devil's Island to, you know, free agents. It's been like that for quite a while. Generally, the only guys that come here are just coming here for a check, unless once in a while somebody has a local connection. Or you're coming here because you can't go anywhere else. So that's why I think they'll have a lesser veteran, and they'll take the quarterback number one.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even a guy like McCarron may not want to come here if he has another option, because if they draft the quarterback one, they know what the team's future means, and probably next year, that's the guy they'll want at the starting position.
Right, and if you're McCarron's agent or you're recruiting against the Browns, and then you just say, well, look at Mike Glennon. He thought he at least played for a year, and he played four games, and Mitchell Trubisky took his place. So, because the odds are whoever starts the season is probably going to lose some games right away.
Terry,
and then they're going to want the young quarterback to play.
Yeah.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. Good tank. Thanks, pal.
Take care.
At work, TNT, and with us on News Radio, WTAM 1100. The coach brought to you by Metro Lexus this morning. Okay, let's put all this behind us, including Fergie's rendition of the anthem and the All-Star Weekend. Although, Fratello, I'm guessing you like some of the defense you saw, at least, for an All-Star game, huh?
I love the game. That's how the game is supposed to be played. It's a showcase for the best players in the NBA. You have fans showing up, sponsorship. You have the legends. How about sitting there on the floor, right down half court, Jerry West, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, Dr. J, all sitting together. The history of this game. And why would you embarrass it by playing the way the teams had played the last couple of years? Our most recent game was sensational because they competed against each other. You saw offense, you saw defense, sharing the basketball. And at the end, you saw more emotion than we've seen in a long, long time because they knew they had put on a legitimate great show.
Yeah, it was a vast improvement of what we've seen in years, Mike, and that was certainly good for the game. And now we're still actually in the All-Star break, this long break. And, you know, to see LeBron play the way he played in that game, the way he played in the games leading up to the break, he really does look rejuvenated, doesn't he?
I said to a couple of people, I thought that the results of the game the other night may have been a pivotal turning point in not only the Cavs season, but also in LeBron James's future. He came out of that game an excited young man who had won the MVP at his age for the third time. Now he wins it. The team wins a game right at, you know, down the stretch with a defensive stop. He was very excited about all that. He had picked a team. He brought him back from being down at the end in the last 6.5 minutes. And perhaps all of that together tied in with the moves that Kobe Altman made right before the break to rejuvenate this team and give them a chance at least to win and get back to the NBA Finals. All of that could have been kind of tied together in the results of Sunday night and LeBron being the MVP, being on the winning team, and the energy that the Cavs come back with after the break.
Mike, when we look at the way the new players have blended in, it's been rather seamless. They've looked so good. Now, teams are going to be scouting them, have a little more feel for what the Cavs are about. So what's the challenge for Coach Lou right now in moving this team forward so they can be in the finals again?
Well, we have to go in order. They come back and only have one day of practice before they have to play Washington at home and then back-to-back the next night at Memphis. But first you have to decide, are you staying in? I'll ask you guys, would you stay with the same starting lineup, Osman rather than Hood, or would you make a change in the starting lineup after winning the way you have since this deal has taken place? Then you have to wait for the return of Kevin Love, who, what is he, probably 5 weeks away,
yeah,
6 weeks away from coming back and playing once again. And you've had all this time now to think about how you want to utilize the new players, what your rotations are. You're hoping that JR comes back as hot as he was when he left. And remember, there's only 26 regular season games left for the Cavaliers, who are 34-22 right now.
And it's really a march, as you pointed out, in March, as they don't have many back-to-backs, but they also pretty much play every other day the rest of the way. They no longer have any more than a day off, I think, between games now, Mike, till the end of the season.
March could be a brutal month, or it could be a very good month for them because being on the road helps teams bond sometimes. So in the month of March coming up, 9 away games, 7 home games, and in those 9 away games, you have 6 in a row on the road at Denver, at Clippers, at Lakers, at Phoenix, at Portland, at Chicago. That's some stretch in there, but they'll be spending a lot of time together, that's for sure.
Mike Fratello on the Cavs, Jim Jones later at 8:20 on News Radio WTAM 1100. Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it, guys.
Oh, 5 good minutes.
On tech and a mirrorless camera. Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad, with me on News Radio WTAM 1100. Hi, Derek.
Morning, Bill.
Okay, let me set it up this way. You know, with so many smartphones, we're taking all these pictures, but the quality is not what we were used to. I mean, but on the other hand, a whole generation is growing up with smartphone quality. But there is a popular trend, it seems, and I'm seeing and hearing more about this, people wanting a specific camera to enjoy pictures, and mirrorless is a type of camera. Let's start with what it is first.
Sure, absolutely. Just like you said, you know, most people do take photos with their smartphones as the camera that we almost always have with us. But especially as people, you know, start their family, they have kids, they want to take better pictures, or they're going on trips as we get into spring and summer, you may want to consider upgrading. Most people, when they think of a better camera, they think of digital SLRs, as the more traditional camera that you see the professionals use, and even just people who are looking to take a better photo. There is an alternative that we like to let people know about. Those, just like you said, is mirrorless cameras. For most people, they'll actually look similar to a DSLR. They have where you can change out the lenses. But they do tend to be smaller and lighter. One concern that a lot of people have is, you know, whether or not they're able to produce the same high quality images that a DSLR can. They can, and they really do have most of the same features. But just like we said, they are actually smaller, and that's because of the way the technology that's used within them. For a DSLR, most people are familiar with the idea that when you look through the little viewfinder, you're actually looking out through the lens itself, so you're getting a better you're essentially seeing what the camera sees. And the way it does that is with a mirror inside that sends the light up to that viewfinder, and then when you go to take a picture, it flips that mirror up, and that's what makes that kind of ka-chunk sound that a lot of people are familiar with SLR, the older film SLRs and the newer digital SLRs. A mirrorless camera actually gets rid of that mirror, so the light goes directly onto the sensor, and by getting rid of all those mechanisms, makes it a lot smaller. For example, I have a mirrorless Olympus camera. It's probably about 80% the size of my DSLR. So it's really great. You can, you know, put it inside your pocket in a lot of cases. And, you know, just it's going to be easier to take with you on the go.
Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad, with me talking about mirrorless camera technology. Yeah, I was going to mention the size. I was at Best Buy the other day looking at these, knowing we're going to be talking about it. And you're right. You can just throw them in your pocket like you do your smartphone. But I was reading one of the blogs with the Geek Squad about this, too. And there are some that are really into photography that have not wanted the mirrorless camera because of the lens choice. But there's some new things there, too, right?
Yeah, you know, because they are, you know, it's not as many mirrorless cameras versus DSLRs, some people feel that there's not as many lens choices. So, you know, some people want the perfect lens for the perfect photo. The great thing, though, is that those lenses are becoming more and more common. Sony, in particular, has a wide range of lenses. Anybody who uses any of the Micro Four Thirds systems that Olympus and Panasonic and others use, they're getting more and more lenses. So for the most part, you can pretty much find whatever lenses that you really want out there. And one great thing that I recommend, you said that you were out at Best Buy.
Yeah.
At our acronym Best Buy, we actually have a special digital photography experience. So we have all the cameras out. You can come and take classes. It's really great. If you actually visit BestBuy.com, you can find go to the camera section. You can see exactly which Best Buy locations around the nation have this special photography center. So those who are kind of interested, maybe you're curious, want to learn more, you can go there and actually get both the hands-on experience as well as the training to kind of get you ready for those spring and summer photos.
Good tips, Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad. Follow him on Twitter, Agent3012, and we'll tweet out the column and some of the stories and some of the different things about the mirrorless camera. Good take. Derek, appreciate the info. Thanks.
Thank you.
News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Legend Jim Jones, member of the 1980 world champion L.A. Lakers, and of course you hear him on the Cavs broadcast. He and John Michael will call it Thursday night back at the Q against Washington. Our update brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cavs. Hey, Jim, good morning. I kind of thought of you the other night. First of all, the All-Star game, they didn't get close to 200 points on each team. Finally, some defense, and the legends were there at courtside to watch as well the other night.
Yeah, I just think, you know, when you get that many exceptional players, And the profile of most of the players today is that they can not only play for each other, but they can play for themselves. So you're going to get a lot of scoring. And everybody's into the up-tempo pace, which means there's more opportunities to score. But in the end, the team that won played defense last.
Yeah, they did. They really did. They got out there and made the stop of the night. Jim, also a great weekend for Larry Nance Jr. in the slam dunk competition, the way he honored his dad, Larry Sr. And talk a little bit about what Jr. is going to mean for this team. I think we really saw him with those offensive rebounds in the last game going into the break. He's got great hands, Jim. He's really the kind of big we've not had a lot of really inside that can do some of the things that he does.
Well, we haven't had a center in a while that can move like he moves, and I think that's the key for him, is his ability to get up and down the floor and play fast. Let me give you an example. Every time Tristan Thompson runs the floor, he was always rewarded, either with the ball for at the rim or else it was an offensive rebound. You know, just the basic fundamentals of being able to play fast is going to make him a positive for us. Now, he has three-point ability. He can shoot three-pointers, which really will help minimize his size because he can step out there with those long arms and that quickness and make a three. But what they've been using him on mostly is that dribble handoff, you know, where he's at the top of the key or the elbow, he gets the ball, and then the guard comes around or a small forward, and he hands it off to him. Fellas, that's the same same kind of play as a pick and roll, because when you come off of that handoff, that defender is behind. So it becomes 4-on-5 in the half court. And they run that so well, so early, which has really surprised me.
Jim, I think we're all looking forward to the resumption of the season, the way the Cavs finished. What a difference a couple of weeks made with the whole outlook for this team. Your read on them as you saw them going into the break and now coming out of it, LeBron looks rejuvenated. Your thoughts on the stretch run, because that's really what it is now. We're really down to the final third of the season before you get to the playoffs.
Well, I've always said in my mind, you know, we had a lot of things to improve upon, but you only have to do two or three things well and consistently, and a couple of those three things great in order to turn things around. And that's what the Cavs have done. What they've done, guys, is they went out and got some young players that have experience, that have come from, they have been well coached, and you can see it in the way they play the game. They don't make a lot of mistakes, and if they do make a mistake, meaning turning the ball over, you know, they were trying to do the right thing. The thing that always got me, and I think you guys were obviously watching that too, we play so well sometimes against teams in the first quarter. And then when teams figure out what you're going to do and your mentality, they played harder than us, and we couldn't play harder. And that's where we were losing games. Now we have young kids. They can play hard. They're quicker. They're more athletic. And they do the one thing that I've always said is a skill, is having the ability on the defensive side to make multiple efforts and switching rotations and steal. Okay, I got you. I covered. The ball moves again. I rotate again. It just seemed like we were always missing that last component of a defensive stand. We are way ahead of the curve. Mike, I've said this before, but I've been wrong, too. Remember you used to ask me, well, Jim, is going to be an adjustment period, and I was always wrong. I just thought IT. I didn't know he was that far behind in his ability to play. I really didn't know that, but I know it now. But the point is this, is that right now the Cavaliers have 9 players that they can go to get the job done. I don't care about Steven Adams getting all those points and getting all those rebounds. He isn't enough to beat us. In fact, he took the ball out of the hands of their big three. I'm not so sure, guys, that the big three or having three big guys is the way to win today. I know you've got to have at least one, but I don't think there's going to be enough possessions for any team to have three dominant players and win this thing. I just think our defense will get better. We're going to score more points. Our half-court game has vastly improved because you can play Hood at the two, and I'm going to assume that at some point he will be at the two, either in a backup role or starting role. JR is playing fantastic, and you don't want to mess with that. But the Cavs are in a good place right now.
Good take, Jim Jones. Thanks, partner.